Hey, real quick, you know, I want to take just a couple minutes so we don't run out of time, because I know, and then if we have more time, we'll do it, we'll get it at the end. But, okay, last week you guys texted in some questions that, I, you know, because of my bad forgetting the password to my Google account. I missed it. So I had a couple questions that you guys sent in that I want to answer you guys. You guys had some good questions. I know I only got a couple before you guys realized it wasn't working. But I don't know, Hunt, did you want to, Michelle, did you want to come up here too? And, oh, she's talking to some people. Hey, do you want to come over and help me with the questions? We got a couple of them, and we're going to do real quick answers. And then if you guys need more information, tell me afterwards. But these are some of the ones. These are some of the ones I got. I know you just saw them, but I've been looking at them all day today. Okay, how do I know if I'm in the wrong in my relationship? If you're a guy, then you're wrong. And if you're a girl, then you're right.
That's not fair.
I know it's not fair. It's not fair, is it, men? No, it's not. Okay, I thought this was a really good one. Because we were talking about last week, or tell a person shut up if they say you love them. Somebody texted the question, is it bad to feel and say that you're in love at a young age, even if you feel it and mean it? Is it wrong to say you're in love at a young age, even if you feel it and mean it? I don't think it's wrong. I just think you have to be sure that you mean it. And I think, like we were talking last week, you have to make sure that when you say I love you to somebody, that it's not just feelings and emotions, but it's more than that. You're willing to commit to that person and love them like God did. We're going to talk about that today, what it looks like between a man and a woman, stuff like that. But that's my thought is you need to be careful with those words. You know, the Bible says, we talk about it, don't give your heart away, protect it. And it says, don't stir up love before it's ready, before you're mature.
Huh? I think even if you do love that person, it doesn't mean, you just have to prepare yourself that you may not marry that person. I remember the longest relationship I ever had before Richard was to a guy named Bud.
And I knew Bud.
And Bud was...
I knew Bud.
Bud was like 4 or 5 years too old for me.
Should have been named Bud.
He didn't have a job. He came to visit me as he took the bus. And I was in love with Bud. Okay? But the point was, is I probably did have real genuine love for him. But he was definitely not husband material. He wasn't even boyfriend material. Okay? So, but you get blinded by that stuff. And it's just crazy that it happens. But just be careful that you don't say I love you so quickly, like the first week, all right? So, and that's true.
But so you just gotta be careful with that, because when you give your heart away, then you really are open to heartbreak, you know?
And if your name is Bud, I'm not making fun of you.
Yeah. Unless you're the Bud that used to date her, then we are. So, okay, now we're talking, I talked a lot about, you know, talking and asking, you know, the girl's dad about that and stuff like that. It says, and then somebody texted, they said, what if the girl you like doesn't like her father or doesn't have a good relationship with him, which is the case, I think, for a lot of people in this place. Maybe you don't know or you don't live with your father, and if he lives in another state, that'd be difficult. You know what I'm saying? But I think, you know, the heart behind what we were talking about last week and saying, you know, is the idea of respecting the parents. So, you know, maybe she lives with her grandma, or maybe she lives with an aunt, or maybe she doesn't live with her family.
Maybe you need to ask her mom.
That would be the same idea, is you respect the parents. And if you respect the parents or whoever her guardian is, then you'll have a better chance of being able to have a lasting relationship with that girl. And I think it's also respectful. You know, the idea is, you know, she doesn't belong to you. You know, her authority in a biblical sense, or her guardian, are the one responsible for her. So if you have the audacity to say that you like her and you would like to be with her, then I think you need to have the bravery to ask permission. And I think that's an honorable thing to do.
Amen.
Amen.
Next one.
Thank you. Thank you. You don't want that's amen right, in the house. Okay. That's all okay. Because I don't care if you like it or not, because it's the truth. Okay. You don't got to like it to be the truth. We were talking about what do you do if you're tempted to have sex? Then that probably means that you're human. Number one is don't
worry.
You're
alive.
Yeah.
Okay.
That means your hormones are working. But what it does mean is this, is if you find yourself in a situation where you're tempted to have sex, then you got to change your atmosphere, because something has happened and the situation has aligned to where you're alone somewhere, or you're, you know what I'm saying? So if you find you're with somebody and you're tempted.
So let's do some practical tips.
So number one is change your atmosphere. If you're in the bedroom, leave, okay? If you're alone, Don't be. Okay? That, and I think practically, to even take a step back, is the best thing you can do to keep your standards, to keep you pretty, to do that, is number one is don't put yourself in a situation where you're going to find yourself there. I mean, if you can avoid the temptation altogether, then you pretty much won the battle, okay? I'm not tempted to shoot people because I don't own a gun.
That's right.
There's times where I want to, but I've never shot anybody because I don't own a gun, you know? If you want to keep your, if you want to keep yourself pure, if you want to, you know, keep a commitment to God, then don't put yourself in a situation to where you or your parents are at work and you're home alone and you just so happen to be giving each other a back massage. Oh, where, you know, because let me tell you this, that ain't going to work, okay? You know, but I say, you know, but if you do find yourself in your situation and for whatever reason, change your atmosphere, change the situation. If you're alone, get away. You know, I'd say the biggest thing you could do is stop. Don't slow down. Stop. All right? Step away from the woman. All right? And I think that's the greatest thing you can do is stop. I mean,
yeah, and just keep in mind, you know, that, you know, get a purity ring because that will help you out. It will remind you, remind yourself, hey, I can do all things. There is not a temptation that's so great that God did not give me the strength to overcome it. So don't think that you're weak. Are you weak?
No.
Are you weak?
You ain't weak.
You are strong.
Come on, fool.
So act like it. Get up and move.
It is true. And, you know, I think, too, we're going to talk about this next week. We're going to talk a lot about boundaries and how to overcome temptation and stuff like that next week. But, you know, if you have somebody who you're accountable to and you say, all right, if, you know, I'm going to be open, an open book with this person about my relationship, somebody they're going to get on your case if you're making bad decisions. And you know, then you need to have somebody you're accountable to because if you keep it hidden, then you can get in all kind of in trouble. You know what I'm saying? And then I think that's kind of... I think that's it for right now. We're going to get into some stuff, and we'll answer some more afterwards, all right?
All right.
So you can have this, hon.
Thank you.
Bam. All right. Cool. Cool. All right. Well, tonight we're going to get into this. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll jump into this. So Father God, Lord, we thank you today for your word. God, we pray that as we get into your word, God, that your word would get into us. And God, as we always pray, we pray, Father, for every other church in the Inland Empire and around the world. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. That was a quick one, huh? But we got to get into it today because I'm out of time. So let's get into this. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 13. You know, we're here at Summer Love Part 2. And today I want to talk to you guys. I have a lot of stuff I want to talk to you guys about, specifically about guys and specifically about girls. You see, in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 6, it talks about what love is. And it's a matter of loving, when you get into a relationship, loving that person, not like you want to love them, not like she wants to love you, not like how the notebook says somebody should be loving you, not like the latest episode of Jersey Shore or Desperate Housewives or whatever housewives of whatever county in the United States is talking about. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just all trash. I mean, it's if that's what love is, then sign me out because I don't want none of it. It's just too dangerous. Okay, I mean, it's heartbreaking, and somebody's end up busting somebody's window out their car, and it's just going to turn really ugly. Okay, so you have to say, all right, God, what does your love look like? What am I supposed to be looking for? You know, you need to set your standards high. You need to set your standards high, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're a boy or a girl in this place. You need to set your standards high. You know, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13, it says, you know, the body, your body was not designed for sexual immorality. All you have to do is look at the disease and the infection rates that happen. I mean, you know, we talked about a statistic last week that said, you know, by the time everybody in this room is at the age 25, if you don't do things God's way, chances are a quarter of us in this room will have some type of sexually transmitted infection. A quarter of people. It says a quarter of people by the age of 25 in America, this generation will have a sexually transmitted infection. And that's what happens. You see, the Bible says the body wasn't designed for sexual immorality. Why? Because this is what happens. Disease, heartbreak, pain. You know, suicide rates are higher for those who have made choices like this. Suicide rates are higher for those who have sex before they're married. Suicide, you know, divorce rates are higher for those who live with somebody before they get married to somebody. You see, it's because we're using our bodies and we're using our love and we're using our emotions for the wrong things. You know, God's trying to protect us here by saying, guys, this is the way it's supposed to work. You know, I know, somebody came up to me just last week and said, so Pastor Richard, that's really cool. You said we could have sex before marriage. No. No, I don't know if I wasn't clear enough, but the Bible says that the body's not made for sexual immorality. Sex, any form of sex, any type of sexual activity before marriage is a bad idea. Nay, I would even say it's worse than a bad idea. It's not what God has called. I would even say that if you do that, it is sin. And you're going against God's plan for you. Look, what I did say is you could do whatever you want, but you have to live with the consequences. That's what I did say, which is the possibility of infections, the possibility of heartbreak, the possibility of maybe an unplanned pregnancy, the possibility of all these things. All right? I mean, it's a possibility of getting your heart broken. But you see, the Bible is God's way of telling us the best way of living life. If you want to be blessed, if you want to avoid unnecessary hurt and pain, then you'll do it God's way. And God's way is purity. Purity. You know, God's way isn't just don't do it before you're married. You know, no flingy before the ringy. It's something bigger than that, okay? It's something deeper than that. God's way is purity. And that's not just what you do or don't do in a bed. Purity is bigger than that. Purity is the way you think. Purity is the way you look at people. Purity is the way you feel about people. Purity is the way you choose who your boyfriend or girlfriend is going to be. See, purity is deeper than just what two people do with their bodies. It has to do with your heart and your soul and your spirit. It's a way of living. That's what purity is. It's not just, oh, another thing I can't do because I'm a Christian. No, 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 no. No, it's true. It's the way you live your life. You see, if you are going to drink water, you want what kind of water? Pure water. You want filtered water. You want water without goobers and floaties. I mean, there's a reason I don't drink out of the same cup that my daughter does. Because if I do, it's flavored, like chicken or macaroni and cheese or like the apple she was eating. That is impure water, okay? That is nasty water. I want pure water. God designed us to run off of purity. And purity means there's no contaminants in it. A contaminant would be sin. A contaminant would be, you know, whether it's maybe it'd be pornographic thoughts. You know, something that's contaminant, you know, something that would contaminate your relationship. Because God desires your life to be pure. God desires your relationships to be pure. Now, that's what we're talking about. The body was not made for sexual immorality, it was made for purity. And your body runs best on purity. Your heart runs best on purity. Your life runs best on purity. Now let's get into this. I want to talk to you guys about two different passages of scripture. And you know what? If you don't get it all, if you think, Pastor Rich, I don't understand anything you're saying, go home and I want you to read two of these passages. One's for guys and one's for girls. They're actually both for both of you guys. Because guys, when I'm talking about what you're supposed to be like, girls, you need to be taking notes. All right, this is what my man should be like. All right, this is what I'm looking for. All right, this is a checklist. No, got it. No, all right, he's a buster. No, you know, I mean, and guys, same thing with the girls. This is what you should be looking for in a woman. All right? You know, and to preface it all, in Ephesians 5:21, this is the next couple of verses is all about a husband. Pastor Richard, why are you talking about husbands? I'm like 16 years old. I don't want to get married yet. No. Look. When you eventually want to get married, ladies, do you want to marry a boy or a man? Do you want a boy or a man? Because who's going to take care of business? A man. You want so why would you date a boy? Why are you gonna date a boy when you're looking for a man? You know what I'm saying? Gentlemen, do you want a girl or do you want a woman? You wake up, you say, woman? You don't want to say girl, no, woman? So I said to my wife, woman? No, I don't know. She wouldn't. No, she'd slap me if I said that. But you know what I'm saying? She slapped me because she is a woman. And she'd come back around like that. No, look. A relationship won't make you a man or a woman. It'll keep you a boy or a girl. Or it'll keep you a man or a woman. So if you date a boy, don't expect him one day, like a Pokemon, to morph into a man. All right? No, it's true, because Pikachu becomes it. Never mind. Anyway, you don't know me. All right? So it says in Ephesians 5, it talks about men. It says this. You better answer that. Tell them they need to be in church. Okay, in Ephesians 5. You guys, just give me more time, because I'm having too much fun here tonight. Shoot. Tell Pastor Dan to go long. Ephesians 5. It says, verse 21, it says this. Start this whole thing off this way. It says this. It says, submit to one another in the fear of God. Submit one to another in the fear of God, submitting one to another in the fear of God. You see, a relationship, like I said last week, should always be give-give. Never give-take. Give-take is ungodly. Because if you've taken something, then you're a thief. But it should always be give-give. If you're in a relationship and somebody's taking, you need to check it out and maybe reconsider it. You see, a lot of times when we look for somebody to complete us, you complete me, the biggest lie Hollywood ever sold, you complete me, mini me. You know, ever since that movie where Jerry Maguire came out, biggest lie it's ever sold. No, that's not the way relationships are supposed to be. You are not supposed to complete her. He is not supposed to complete you. No, you need to be complete before. Otherwise, you end up taking. Because you're taking from somebody to make up for what you've lost. See, a relationship is never 50-50. Never 50-50. A relationship has to be 100-100. Because if I'm not sold into 100% of my relationship with my wife, who am I giving the other 50% to? Because I bet she wants to know. No, it's 100%, 100%. And if I'm not whole, if I don't know my role, if I don't know who I'm supposed to be, then how do I expect to give to her what she needs? You need, ladies, you need a guy who knows who he is, not who's finding out who he is. That's a man. Ladies, you need to be a woman who knows who you are because you won't find it in him. That's the way it needs to be. And if you begin to look at these verses, we're going to go through Ephesians 5 for the guys and Proverbs 31 for the girls. Don't ask me how we're going to get through this, but we will. You see, guys, it says this. I want to read this to you real quick. Keep your finger in Ephesians. I want to read this real quick. You know what? Just put it up here. I want to get, if you guys have Proverbs 31, go put it up. Proverbs 31, verse 2 and 3. Let's see. You got up there? Ooh, bam! It says, Proverbs 31, in verse 2, it says this. It says, this is the mom speaking to her son. She says, listen to me. I said, listen to me, fool! That's pretty much what it says. It says this. That's pretty much my paraphrase. And she says to her son, do not give your strength to women. Men, do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. If you want to be a man who is ready for a relationship, if you want to be a man who's ready to give your heart to a girl, then you need to be a man. You need to be a man. You need to man up. You need to take responsibility. It's time to put the boy toys away and stand up and be a man. She says this, nor your ways. Don't give your ways to that which destroys kings. She didn't say a prince or a boy or a page or any of those things. She said you need to see yourself as a king, as somebody grown, as a man who's ready to take responsibility. Because if you're not ready to take responsibility, I don't even know if you're ready to have a girlfriend, to have a relationship, because you're still figuring things out. Get yourself settled before you try to settle with somebody else. You know what I'm saying? She says, you are a king, so you need to act like a man. You know, we were talking last week about about the whole idea of asking the girl out. And then we've been going through the saga with Kevin and Lisa. So is Kevin, I think we have to peer into Kevin's life real quick to see what's going on. So let's go ahead and take a look at this love story unfold before us.
Oh, I'm not ready. My dad wants to talk to you. I'll be back. Okay.
Good evening, Kevin.
Hello? Who is he?
I'm here. I'm everywhere.
Are you Lisa's dad?
Of course. I'm God.
What?
Kevin, I wanted to talk to you about dating my daughter. I want to make sure that you're respectful.
Yes, sir.
I want to make sure that you act like a gentleman.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, you're paying for everything, right?
Yes, sir.
Lisa is my daughter, and if you offend and take advantage of her, well, you'll have to deal with me, and that's not something you want. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Have a good time, and remember, I'm watching everything.
I'm ready. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
Aw. Don't you love these big budget productions? That's a downer, almost. But it's not really. You don't got anything to worry about if you're not doing nothing you shouldn't be doing. But now we talked about, that look, guys, when you're dating a girl, when you're dating a young woman, her heart, her life, her body belongs to God. I mean, it don't belong to you. To you become her husband. And if you steal or take anything, then you're taking from God. And I don't think, when we have to get this into our eyes, we got to get this into our heart, we got to get this into our mind, we got to get this into who we are, is that you don't want to steal from God. You don't want to defraud that which belongs to God. See, we have this whole idea wrong about what real masculinity is. I've been seeing it on the internet and on Pinterest. My wife's Pinterest, I don't have one. But this saying, it says swagger's for boys and class is for men. Would anybody agree with that? Swagger's for boys, class for men, all right. The ladies mostly, it sounds like. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I'm sure maybe they're somewhere in the middle. Slass or something. I don't know. Anyway. But there's this idea that to be masculine, you got to have big muscles. You got to be a woman. You got to be flirtatious. You got to be, this or that or whatever. And the truth is this. Is real masculinity is someone who... Real masculinity is someone who's willing to lay down their life. Real masculinity is a man holding a baby. Okay? It's somebody feeding their child in the middle of the night while their wife sleeps. I think that's a picture of real masculinity. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's a picture of masculinity. Is a husband who's willing to do that. I think it's a husband who's willing to take care of his children and watch over his wife. It's the one who sees his wife having a difficult day, and takes care and does the dishes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think that's masculinity. Fake tans and big hair, whatever, dude. But that's what it is. Ephesians 5, I'm just saying. Ephesians 5, 25, the Bible says this. It says, let me go to verse 22 here. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Okay. Now, I know that's not a very popular verse, especially for ladies, because you're thinking, that's kind of a sucky verse, Pastor Richard. That's old school. But let me tell you this. Gentlemen, men, the reason women don't like that verse is because men have been a very poor example. The reason women don't like that word submit is because a lot of times the stereotype is men aren't very kind to submit to. And if men would be men, then women would have no problem submitting to them because it wouldn't be painful and it wouldn't be challenging and it wouldn't be difficult and it wouldn't be hurtful. Does that make sense? I mean, ladies, look, if you knew that your husband is trustable or your boyfriend, you could trust him, and if you knew he wouldn't hurt you or break your heart, if you knew he would always be there for you, then it'd be easy to submit to him because he would have your best interests either way. Does that make sense? But the problem is that so many guys have made so many stupid decisions and so many dumb things that verse looks like a curse when it's meant to be a blessing. So when you become a man and when you're ready to man up, then you're a man who's easy to submit to because it's not a burden. Then you're a man who makes it, you're a man who can lead. When she says, what do you want to do? You don't say, I don't know, what do you want to do? You say, you know what? I got the night planned. I got flowers for you. I got reservations at the restaurant. We don't even have to wait in line at the movie theater because I already got them. It's a man who takes the initiative. The man who makes plans. It's a man who takes the lead and says, I may not know everything, but I'm going to find out what needs to get done. If you got to say, hey, do you got any gas money for my mom? And then we're going halfies on this McDonald's meal, right? You know what I'm saying? You're probably not ready, okay? Just give it some time, all right? The steak is just medium well, all right? You got to cook a little bit longer. It's a person who's a man who takes these verses as doable. And then it goes on and says this. It says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. In verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. You see, a man is someone who's a provider and a protector. Men were designed by God to be providers and protectors. That's why there's Superman and Batman. That's why the Avengers are who they are. That's why there's He-Man. That's why there's all these things. Because a man is designed not to be necessarily buff and burly and all that, but a man is designed. It's within a man to be a provider and protector, to swoop in and save the day. I don't know about you, but you know, feels good. Feels good rescuing somebody. It feels good. It feels good to accomplish things like that. And the problem is, a lot of times we get it mixed up, and we end up being somebody who is a taker, and someone. So we become somebody who all of a sudden is, instead of providing, we're stealing, and instead of protecting, we're hurting. See, guys, when you pressure a girl physically, intimately, sexually, you're no longer a protector. You're someone who's assaulting. You're someone who's hurting. You're someone who's taking. You're no longer a provider, but you're somebody who's stealing from her. You see, God's called you to honor, provide, and protect a woman. You see, God's called you to be a shepherd, young man. But what happens a lot of times is our society teaches you how to be a wolf. Pornography teaches you how to be a wolf. Pornography will train your brain to think on how to take. Because there's nothing giving about pornography. Nothing. It's all take, take, take. It's all me, me, me. And truthfully, it's all fake. It's a script. It's fake. Nothing's real about it. Except it's really ugly. It trains a person. Ladies who watch it, you're trained. You begin to be trained how to be a victim when you watch that. And what happens is America and the world has sold this idea of this is what it means to be sexy, or this is what it means, this is what men want. No, 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 no. This is the way men are. No, 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 no. That's not the way men are designed to be. Men are designed to be a shepherd, not a wolf. And when we watch and we put these things, and we watch these shows and we think this way, then we're training our brain to think this way. And it's the exact opposite of what God has designed you to be. A shepherd protects. A wolf steals and kills, breaks and destroys. See, the Bible says this. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Jesus didn't take from us. He gave himself for us. He laid down his life. He gave himself for her that he would sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. At the end of the night, gentlemen, does your girlfriend feel pure and clean? Or does she feel like she needs to take a long shower to wash the grit off of her? Does she feel relieved? Does she feel struggle inside of her? How do you leave her? Because Jesus said, if we're supposed to be like Jesus to our girlfriend, eventually our wife one day, he says he sanctifies and cleanses her by the washing of the word. A provider and a protector. And then it continues and says this, husbands ought to love their own wives as their bodies. For he who loves the wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes as the Lord does the church. It's sacrificial. A man's life should be defined by sacrifice. How much you give for the other person. We said that's what love is last week. It's personal self-sacrifice. It's personal self-sacrifice. What are you looking to give? And when we're in a rush to get down to business, something physical, or when we're in a rush to, we're all of a sudden, we've been dating for a couple weeks. Hey, send me a picture of this. Send me a picture of that. Look. You're looking after your own instead of looking after her. So we've got to be careful about these things, because the Bible says this. It says that you ought to love your wife as your own body, as your own flesh, as you love. So you wouldn't hurt yourself. And that's what happens when we end up taking from other people. We're supposed to put them in front of us. Ladies, let's look at you real quick. In Proverbs 31, I know there's a lot to go over, and I'm going over it kind of quick, but I want to get into this. See, a guy needs to be a man. Somebody who initiates, somebody who steps forward, someone who plans, someone who is not afraid to lead in such a way that a woman wouldn't be afraid to submit to him. Oh, he's a provider and a protector, and he lives a life of sacrifice. Girls, look, a woman who's ready is a woman who's nurturing. Proverbs 31 says this. Proverbs 31, it says in verse 11, it says, you know, it says in verse 10, it says, who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, and she will have no lack of gain. She does him good and no evil all the days of her life. You see, a wife, a woman who's ready to be in a relationship with someone who nurtures. You know, nurturing builds strength, right? If you nurture somebody back to life, they're weak and you make them strong. A woman should be able to nurture. You should be, ladies, you should be able to make people feel better about themselves when you're around. You know, there's this idea of a woman is a B word that I can't say in church, where she claws and she's mean and she's nasty and, you know, she handles her business. She's clawing eyes out. You see all over YouTube girl fights and things like that. That is not nurturing. That is, you know? It's like, yuck, okay? And nurturing builds strength. Temptation robs strength. What did it start? This whole chapter started off is King, you know, he said, King, don't give your strength to women. Ladies, you can rob a man's strength. The way you dress, the way you talk, the way you move. Look, I don't know, ladies, but there's something about ladies that can just jack a man up. Man, you mess it. Ladies, you have this like power to mess dudes up, okay? You may not realize it, but you need to realize it, that you can mess a dude up. I don't care who you are. But ladies can mess a dude up, okay? So if you don't watch yourself, you become, instead of a nurturer, you become someone who weakens people. The way you dress, the way you talk, the pictures you post, the way you flirt with guys, if you become a temptation, then you rob strength instead of nurture and give strength. And God never designed you to be that way. See, when you become someone who's tempting in a sense, you cause people to do things that are wrong. Then what happens is you're capitalizing on weakness, and you become like a snake or a viper. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to poison people with the way you present yourself. You know, it's funny because everybody wants to be sexy. Look, if you're being sexy, that means you're looking for sex. It's true. Why else would you be sexy? The word sex isn't sexy. It's sex with E. Sexy. Well, why? But you know what I'm saying. Sexy. Like, your pants say juicy on your butt. And you know? You say, my booty juicy, okay? Some sexy. I want sex. Look, and then all of a sudden some guy hits you. Look, don't be sexy. Don't be sexy. Because you're not supposed to be sexy. When you're a wife, then you can be sexy with your husband. But you know what I'm saying? Not now. If you're being sexy going to school, you're telling everybody at school, I want sex. That's why you're being sexy, right? So dudes look at you, so dudes like you, so you feel better about yourself. But what happens? You're capitalizing on making people weak. I don't want to make people weak. I want to make people strong in my life. God's called you to be a woman who builds people up. So don't do it. Don't do that. It says you need to be nurturing. It says the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. That means she's nurturing him because she's making her man not fall, not be tempted, but she's making him stronger than he was before. She's honest with herself and with the man. It says this in Proverbs, just the verse before, it says this. And I think this is the coolest, I don't know about you guys, but I think this is one of the coolest verses in this entire Bible. It says, who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. The heart of her husband. Look, ladies, you know if you've ever had a boyfriend, chances are men generally don't talk very much about how they feel and emotions. Kind of weird sometimes. Kind of weird. Girls talk a lot. Girls talk a lot. I mean, when they text you and you don't text them back in 5 minutes, they get all crazy on you, you know what I'm saying? Kind of like, where are you? My wife does that sometimes. She types in all caps, hello, I'm driving, I don't want a ticket, you know? It's like, I get it, hello. Like, come on, killing me, Smalls. So, Where am I going? But so ladies, the Bible says this. It says, this woman is such a woman that her husband can actually share his heart with her. That's how you know you got it, is when he begins to share his emotions with you, which he don't like doing, and he's not even comfortable with it, probably. If he won't tell you what's wrong with him, then maybe that means that he doesn't trust you yet. He doesn't feel that he can trust you with his heart. You're honest. You're honest with yourself and with him. So you need to be honest, and you need to be able to have him trust his heart with you. See, and then we got to be honest with yourself. Ladies, if you don't like the relationships you're having, you need to look at yourself. Because let me use hunting terms for you ladies. The type of game or the animal you catch is based on two things. If you're hunting, the type of animal you catch is based on two things. The bait you set out and where you're hunting. You will not find moose in the desert. They're not there. You will not catch a deer with marshmallows. Probably not going to happen. You can catch trout with marshmallows, but not deer. So the question is, ladies, if you see that you're always getting your heart broken, what bait are you putting out? What are you putting out to attract your catch? Where are you going to find these beasts? Maybe you need to change your locale. Maybe you need to cover up your bait. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because you're catching something for a reason. And you got to be honest with yourself. If you've been in bad relationships, then you're looking in the wrong place, okay? You know, and you know, honestly, ladies, if you find yourself with leaving a bad relationship, it's because you're putting up with it. If you go fishing, if you get a little fish, you throw it back. You don't got to take it. Little trout, I don't want you. I want a swordfish, you know what I'm saying? You know, throw it back. Say, you can't handle this, buster. You know, throw it back. And gentlemen, if you keep on getting denied, maybe you need to become a big red snapper, okay? Because you're a guppy swimming in the wrong pond, you know what I'm saying? You need to, look, if you have standards, ladies, be honest with yourself. Are your standards too low? Then raise them. Because here's the thing, last verse of the day, because I'm going to shut it down, because Pastor Dan's wrapping this bad boy up next door, is the woman, you need to be nurturing, make people better around you. Whiny, snappy, mean, catty, angry girls, they might be entertaining to watch on MTV and television, but they are not the woman you want to spend the rest of your life with. Girls, be nurturing. Make people better around you. Girls, be honest with yourself and the man you're with one day. Not now. and then you need to be strong. Proverbs 31, verse 10, where we're here. Who can find a virtuous wife? 17, she girds or clothes herself with what? Strength. And then she strengthens her arms. And then it goes on in verse 25. It says this. It says, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. If you find yourself with weak men, that might be because you're treating yourself like a weak woman. A strong woman will attract a strong man. A weak woman will find a man she can manipulate, will find a man that she can play. A weak woman will find a man that, all of a sudden, she'll find herself in a place where she's a victim in a relationship. But the truth is, God designed you to be a strong woman. You won't put up with no mess. If he's playing games, you say, you know what, you can play Monopoly. I'm ready to play a game of life, because I ain't going to mess with that stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready to get this thing done right, because I'm a strong woman who God created for big things. And if you never see yourself as a woman who's going to do big things, you're going to settle with a small-minded man. Because I'm going to tell you, ladies, you need to find a man with a vision bigger than yours. You need to find a man with a dream that's bigger than yours. Ladies, you need to find a man who has aspirations that are bigger than you could dream of. Because if your dreams are bigger than his, he's not the right one. And gentlemen, it's time we start dreaming bigger. Because we have a city full of men with small dreams. Dreams only as big as their neighborhood and their block. Only as big as drugs and violence. Their dreams are only as big as the gang or what this person's wearing and what this person's not wearing. Their dreams are only as big as how much money they can make. I'm telling you, gentlemen, we need to get a dream that's bigger than these things because these things will fade. I'm talking about dreams of raising up generations of people who are successful and blessed. I'm talking about dreams that say, I'm talking about dreams that say, I won't live past the age of 30. That's baloney. That's bull. That's crap. That's garbage. That's junk. Gentlemen, we need to raise up and we need to have minds that are the mind of Christ. Gentlemen, if you want a good woman, you better have a good dream. Because if you're single and you can't attract a woman, that's because your dreams are not big enough. And brother, you better get a hold of Jesus Christ because he's got big dreams for you. So I'm tell you this. I see some weird looking dudes with some pretty girls. There's hope in this room. And the reason there's weird-looking dudes with pretty girls, because they got something those girls want. And whether it's success, whether it's the guts to ask the girl out. Look, some girls end up with some dudes just because they're the only ones brave enough to ask her out. Talk with some dude the other day, and he's like, man, I don't know how I got her. I'm like, I don't know either, man, but you did. I'm just saying. So dudes, men, it's time that you rise up and be a man. Stop messing around. Look, you're 15, 16, 17-year-old, you know, 100 years ago, you were in wars. You were captains of ships. 100 years ago, you guys were starting businesses out on your own in the pioneering wilderness. Look, I know you're in 10th, 11th, 12th grade, but you don't got to act like it. Ladies, one of the biggest tragedies that women have today is they settle. A strong woman will attract a strong man. And let me tell you this. If you have to chase him, ladies, you're going to find out he wasn't worth catching. Because he's supposed to be chasing you. So stop blowing him up. Stop flirting with him like that. And you wait for some man to pursue you. Because look, things that are inexpensive, anybody can afford. But things that are valuable, only the few can afford who have earned it. So you make him chase you. You run. Ladies, you run like the wind. Like the wind. And you know what? Ladies, when you run fast, you'll find that only the strongest can catch you. So don't be easy. Cover it up. Be mysterious. Ooh. Because a real man doesn't mind a challenge. So don't be easy. Be challenging. Look, purity. I like to drink pure water. I ain't going to drink puddles. Not going to happen. Hey, puddles are okay for dogs, right? Puddles are okay for dogs. I'm not going to drink a puddle. I got some Evian. Maybe Arrowhead if I'm in a tight spot. Dasani's pretty tight. Dasani's pretty tight. There. Arrowhead's funny sometimes. I don't know. But I'm going to drink pure water. In your relationships, do you want a pure relationship or do you want a puddle relationship? If you do it your way, you'll get a puddle. This deep and lots of dirt. But if you go to somewhere that's pure, a spring, a mountain glacier place, whatever they're called, I don't know, you'll find that there's flowing water and it's deep. So what do you want? You do it God's way, you get a spring, a pure spring. You do it your way, you get a shallow puddle. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 20 through 26. Read it. Gentlemen, memorize it. Proverbs 31. Ladies, read the whole thing. Memorize that too. You guys got something from God tonight? Let's give him praise.